welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Yeah, I want to continue with the message that I started on last week and got out halfway through and thought it would be good probably to finish it. Last week I started speaking about the fact that 2014, I really believe, is going to be an exciting year for many of us. It's going to be a fun year, and it's going to be a year of tremendous breakthrough. We always like hearing that. It's always great saying that this is your year of breakthrough, this is your year of victory, this is your year of overcoming. But the reality is that you can only have a year of overcoming or a year of victory or a moment of victory or a moment of overcoming, whatever it may be, if you understand that, like our cricketers understand a little bit. Anybody watch that five-day game played in Johannesburg against India? And after 2.5 days, after 3.5 days, everyone thought it was game over. South Africa, we might as well go home. Game over, finished. This is not going to happen here. Let's just leave it all and we'll come back for the next match. The beginning of the fourth day, kind of everyone said, you know, if we just save this match, it'll be a pretty momentous occasion. And we got towards the end of the fifth day, and the tables had turned, and it looked like we might actually be winning this game. Anybody watch that game? And then right at the end, like two overs from the end, our players decided, no, we're not going to win this, but we're not going to lose it either. Anyone have that same disappointment in their heart, that heaviness in their heart, that, no, what are you doing? We've got to win this. But you know, there's something about the fact that it's been, and Americans totally don't get this, 5 long days to bring us to this point where we can almost win it, which makes us want the win so much more, which makes us cherish the almost win so much more than the 20-over game, which we started just now and finishes 3 hours later. There's something about the battle, there's something about going through the whole process, coming towards the end, that makes us cherish and appreciate the victory so much more. The 20-over game that you almost lost, but you end up almost winning, you're probably never going to remember that 3 or 4 years down the line. But as I said to one of the cricket players and the other day, you know that day where we almost won, that's the type of thing that you tell your grandkids about. Those days. But what is it that makes that day so much different to the 20-over game? It's the longevity of the process. It's the battle that you go through. It's the fact that you overcame a bunch of obstacles to get to the victory. The fact that you overcame a number of things and you worked through it. It wasn't just an easy, it wasn't just buy the meal from Woolworths, put it in the microwave and was ready to eat it. And as we go into 2014, I've got some really great news for us. Great news starts in John 16, verse 33. It's Jesus speaking and he says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus gives us a great promise there. He says, you're going to have some great victories in this world. But great victories can only be great victories when there are great battles. Great victories can only be great victories when you've had to push through some stuff to have the victory, to gain the victory. For any of us who've ever played any game, any of us who've ever done anything of significance, we know the stuff that you wake up in the morning, you open your computer, you send your email, and the job's done. There's no satisfaction in that. There's no satisfaction in the stuff that just falls into our plate that's so easy. The satisfaction comes in, I've been working at this project for 6 months or 6 years, and now we're getting towards the end of it. And now I'm sending the email, and this is the last email of a whole process. And now there's satisfaction. Now there's, I've accomplished something. Now there's, something's been done. And all of us who've experienced those moments in life, it's like when you get your degree, for those of you that are studied, you know, you don't get the same satisfaction out of passing one test as you do out of passing the last test. The last moment, it's not just the 3 weeks of studying that's finished now. It's the 3 years, or the 4, or the 5, or the 6, or the 7, or the 10 years, depending on what you studied. It's finished. That was the last one. And it's that entire process that adds value to it. And Jesus says, he says, these things I've spoken to you. I want you guys to know something. You're going to have peace. I've told you a whole bunch of stuff because I want you to have peace. But know that the peace only has value in the midst of the tribulation. And I'm just recapping. I know some of you heard this a couple of weeks ago. I'm just recapping to place in context for those who were lying on the beach when we were doing the things of God and, you know, being saved and serving the Lord, and other people were drinking cocktail juices, watching the sunset over the ocean. But Jesus says, I want you to know something. And in this world, let me give you a promise, a sure promise. There's going to be some stuff in this world that you know you're going to get. Tribulation is one of them. Tribulation, very simply, is just an annoying, frustrating, or catastrophic event. It's an annoying, frustrating, or catastrophic event. Anybody have an annoying, frustrating, or catastrophic event last year? 2013. A bunch of us. Can I give you some great news? You're going to have some annoying, catastrophic, or frustrating events in 2014 as well. You're going to have them. They're going to be there. Some are going to be catastrophic. Some are going to be, God, I really didn't see this coming. It's totally derailed me. My wife was just telling me the other day she was going to pick up her sister at Gautrain. Stopped at an intersection. The car next to her doesn't stop, and there's a big prang right in front of her in the road. You know, if you're the car that didn't stop, that's catastrophic. Some of those catastrophes are things that you just didn't see them coming. You were just driving innocently through a robot like you do hundreds of times on any given week. And this one time, it just all went wrong. Those moments are going to happen. We don't always see them coming. And that's what makes them catastrophic. If we see them coming, then the catastrophes, we can manage, we can steward, we can prepare ourselves for them. I think last week when I spoke about this, I used the example of little Eben, who's just such a beautiful example of God's grace to us. You know, right at the end of Callista's pregnancy, she goes for a routine scan and the doctor says there's something not routine about this baby. Right at the very end of this whole process of bringing forth this life, catastrophe strikes. It's not that the problem hadn't been there all along. They just became aware of it right at the end, and then it's catastrophe. Then all of a sudden, everyone's life gets affected. Their whole life changed. The way they're going to live their life, the way they're going to raise this child, everything has changed. But praise the Lord, the kid made it, even though all the doctors and everyone said that he wasn't meant to. He was at Mika's little birthday party yesterday. As cute as any of the other kids playing. And just want to hold that before all of us. Let's never forget the good things that God has for us. Let's never forget to share those testimonies, because you know you're probably going to find somebody, even if not you, maybe somebody at your work, somebody in your family, and they're going to have a similar catastrophic event. And then we can just speak a word of grace and say, no, catastrophe struck my friends as well. But here's a little photo of their baby that's not meant to be. Here's a little picture of a life after 101 nights in ICU that's alive and living and going on. Because catastrophe is going to strike. Jesus gave us that promise. 2 Timothy 2, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. I said that must there is a term of compulsion. And I don't want to go through this too much. I spoke in a lot of detail around it last week. But it gets worse. John 15, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you and love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And then a little bit later on, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. As we look forward towards 2014, I want to hold before us that I really believe it's going to be a year where we're going to experience great victory. But it's only going to be a year where we experience great victory because it's a year in which we're going to experience great hardship. A year in which we're going to experience great battle. A year in which we're going to sometimes lie in the bed and say, God, can't all of this just leave? Because I believe that we're stepping in prophetically, just church universally, into a season where our Father's coming into play. We've been praying for a long time, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The church is pretty good at that. Walk into any CD store. You know, the one thing the church can do is learn how to do is to make music. Music that glorifies God, music that exalts God. perhaps the next thing that we're not quite so good at, that I believe God's beginning to restore, is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth. Because the church is not so good at that. Just look around us. Pick up today's newspaper if you don't, not sure. If you still doubt, go home and turn on the news bulletin tonight and ask yourself, you know, is God's kingdom coming here? Is this what we're seeing on news all around us in our communities, in our families? Is this his kingdom coming and his will being done? Because if it's not, then as a church, we need to man up. We need to stand up and say, God, let your kingdom start coming. But anyone who's ever stood up for righteousness, anyone who's ever stood up for justice, you know that the moment you stand up for righteousness and justice, then someone else is going to stand up against you for unrighteousness and injustice. That's just the way these things work. From this day, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The violent take it by force. And if this year we're going to take some strides forward for the kingdom of God, we need to understand that persecution and tribulation is going to come. Suffering is going to be there. Hardship is going to be there. But don't worry, the news isn't all bad. Because right in the midst of this, 1 Corinthians 15 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that to me is one of the most precious promises. That whatever hardship we might be going through, whatever we may be enduring, whatever tribulation we might be stuck right in the middle of, whichever season. Last week was just such a beautiful example. I had a whole bunch of you just came forward and you just shared just what God had done for you in 2013, areas that you wanted to be thankful for. Kate came forward and she shared how God gave her word right at the beginning of the year and how precious that word was because it carried her through the year. But you know, sometimes when God comes to Joshua, like he does to Joshua, and he says, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. You know why God says, Joshua, be strong and very courageous? Because Joshua needs to be strong and very courageous. God doesn't come and say, be strong and very courageous when you're dwelling in your palace to King David. But he does come and say to Joshua, Joshua, you're going to inherit the promised land. So Joshua, you need to learn to be strong and very courageous. So when the battle around you looks like his battle is being lost, then Joshua, I want you to remember, be strong and very courageous. Those words of encouragement that God brings. Someone brought a word saying they received a word at the beginning of the year that it's going to be a year of blessedness for him as an individual. And in the first week or so of the year, he didn't have any money that he could spend because he had 20 rand in his bank account and he couldn't draw the 20 rand. He could swipe it, but he couldn't draw it, he tells us. Banks have these funny rules about our money. You know, they can't give us our last bit of our own money. And then he's stuck with this dilemma. God just said, God, it's going to be a year of blessedness, but now I've got nothing. And that's exactly where God says, yes, I did say it was going to be a year of blessedness. So hold on to the promise, because God, you are faithful. I'm holding on to the promises, even as we sang earlier. God always gives us the victory. This is still a recap from last week. He gives us a victory at all times. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Romans 8, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now I want to give us that illustration, the word that's used here, hupernikao, which is the word that's translated more than conquerors, and it's pronounced every way except the way which I just pronounced it. If you have an image of a target against the wall over there, the word sin is when I take my bow and arrow and I shoot my bow and arrow and my arrow flies towards the target, which is God's perfect will, and I miss the target, but specifically I fall short. That's where we get the image that we get the word sin from. The image that we get the concept of more than conquerors from is a Greek concept of the Olympics. The Greek athlete running with his javelin. And he's got a mark that he's aiming to beat. And he throws this javelin. He doesn't just reach the mark that he's aiming for. His javelin goes beyond what he's aiming for. And that's the image of more than conquerors. That there's something that God holds before us. And it's not only that God wants us to only attain the purposes that he holds before us. He wants us to go beyond. I love that image that you and I, as we're standing here, whether you see yourself standing with a javelin in your hand and you're about to throw that javelin, or alternatively, you see yourself as the javelin that God is throwing. That God wants us to be more than conquerors. that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And even the principle in which it's said there is, or the context in which we read that, about sheep being led to the slaughter. People given up to death and being sawn in two. And Jesus said, yet in all these things, whatever our circumstance around us may hold, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I read Romans 8 last week and I said, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. I encouraged you, and I hope some of you did. I hope some of you took this a little bit and meditate around this. Meditate around the principle of, imagine if I realized what it meant that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. I think my life would look a little bit different. I think our lives would look a little bit different if we clicked that. If we clicked that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, that same Jesus who got buried in the tomb with a big rock that men couldn't move away, that same Jesus, or that same Spirit that dwelt in Jesus that rose Him from the dead, that exact same Spirit lives inside you and me every day. Makes me think a little bit different, maybe when I feel like I'm buried in a tomb. Maybe like I'm being whipped. Maybe like I'm hanging on a cross to realize, but hey, wait a minute. That same Spirit is going to give life to my mortal flesh. That same Spirit is a Spirit of victory. It's a Spirit of overcoming. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Ephesians 6, all of us still, just a recap. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That our battle is not against other individuals. Our battle is not against other people. It's so important for us to remember this because we get stuck in battles with people. You know, the fights that finish us, the fights that take our energy, the fights that cost us are not the fights in which we engage that which matters. It's which we make it personal. When I think it's you against me, and I lose the maturity to step back and say, wait a minute, it's not you against me. It's righteousness against unrighteousness. And even as you may be the advocate, not none of you, but maybe the advocate of the injustice and the unrighteousness, the reality is you're a victim of that unrighteousness as much as anybody else's. So I'm going to pray for you and against the unrighteousness. I'm going to fight for you and against the unrighteousness. And maybe it's going to look to you like I'm fighting against you, but actually I'm fighting for you. Actually, I'm fighting for your deliverance and for your freedom. Because that injustice has bound you and you become an advocate for the work of Satan. And it's so important for us to keep that maturity of thought in our conflict situations, in our moments. That my battle is not against you as an individual. My battle against the Spirit is against the Spirit that is at work within you. The victory that matters is not the victory that I'm going to win in a coffee date. Just talking as beautiful, as precious as that may be, and we need those moments where we just stop everything. Listen, can we just go have coffee over this and sort it out? Those moments are precious and beautiful. The battles of worth, the battles of value are not going to be solved that quickly or that easily. It's going to take a lot more from us, a lot more humility from us, a lot more from us of saying, let me step back. Let me pray about this. Let me work through this. Let's get stuck a little bit and find out what's really precious, what's really valuable, what's really important. It's not going to be the type of thing we solve in 5 minutes. It's going to be the type of thing that maybe we solve in 5 months or 5 years. Those are the battles that I really believe God's leading us to engage more and more in. But in that, if we're going to be victorious people, we need to be walk around as victorious people. And that's what I spoke about last time. And I want to give us just a couple of tips, because some of us walking around, we don't feel victorious. Some of us walk around and we're like the little baby that gets thrown into the ocean and the waves just whack him left and right and back and forth, and there's just no ways for that baby to survive. And some of us feel like the little baby that's just getting whacked by every wave that's coming, every moment that's coming. And I really believe God wants our spirits to begin to rise up, and He wants us to walk with a victorious spirit. Not a spirit of a victim, but a spirit of a victor. Not a spirit of, I'm suffering, and even though I may be suffering, but not a victim of, I am suffering through this world, but a spirit of I'm conquering through this world. Even in the midst of my suffering, there is victory. The Apostle Paul was a great example. He died at least 3 times in Scripture, got raised from the dead again, got whipped, the 40 stripes minus one, on numerous occasions. In all these things, that's the same Paul who writes, we are more than conquerors. He spent a couple of nights in the deep, just floating there, hanging on to something, floating, because the ship that he was on sunk. But numerous times he did that. Go read a little bit of some of Paul's CV, the stuff that he went through, and at the end of all of that he says, but that is my victory. That is our victory. It's not our victory of the things of the world, but our overcoming of the things of this world. So five or six, how many did I end up with? Five, 6 points that just tips to help us to walk in and develop a victorious spirit. The first one is to embrace God's purpose. 1 John 5, John writes, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. If you want to walk in victory and in a victorious spirit, whatever is born of God. One of the most important prayers that you and I should be praying all the time, because we get this a little bit wrong. Sometimes our prayer looks like this. We go and we're in business or in a relationship or in our studies, whatever it may be, and we have this really cool idea. And we can really see how this is going to work for me. It's going to work for other people. We can see how this is going to do something for the kingdom of God. This looks like a fantastic idea. And then we go, God lead me. God bless me. God, make this thing happen. And we fast over it. We pray over it. We get other people to sow into it, to fast into it, to pray into it. And that's all totally wrong. What we should be doing is just taking one step back and asking a simple question. Say, God, what are you doing already? God, where is your hand moving? Holy Spirit, what is it that you are already doing? And how can I partner with that? How can I get involved with that? Whatever is born of God overcomes the devil. Sometimes we want to give birth to something and hope that God blesses it. There are going to be times when, in a spiritual sense, God impregnates you and you do give birth to something. Definitely. But it doesn't start with my idea or something that I think is going to be good. It starts with me stepping back and asking a simple question. God, what is it that you are already doing and what are you wanting to do? And God, how can I in some way contribute towards that which you are doing? I love what Brian Houston tweeted a couple of weeks ago. He says, if you want to build something that's lasting and adds value, make sure it complements what he's already building, his church. I love that. Where is God moving? What is God doing? And how can I become a part of that? Yes, God is always by my side. We sang that. I love that song. If our God is with us, one of the other songs said, then who can ever stand against me? But there's an important if involved in that. If my God is with me. Yes, we know my God is always alongside me. The God of angel armies is always by my side. But I wonder just sometimes how many times we ourselves as Christians, we love judging the Pharisees. We love judging the Sadducees and the religious people of Jesus' day. You know, the reality is often we're not much different to them. Often exactly the same stuff they did is exactly the same stuff we do. And at one stage, Jesus is busy ministering and he's left, and then his apostles are doing some great stuff. And in Acts chapter 5, they catch these apostles and they beat them and they chain them and they throw them in jail and they want to do a whole bunch of stuff against them. And one older wise man, Gamaliel, stands up. He says, everyone, let's just wait a moment. You remember a while ago, this other man stood up and he had some disciples and then he died and the whole thing fizzled out. And then this other guy, same thing happened. You know, perhaps with Jesus has gone out. Let's just leave these men be and it'll fizzle out. Unless it's of God. Because if it's of God, then we cannot overcome it. And even more, let's just watch out that we don't find ourselves fighting against God. You know, sometimes as Christians, in our eagerness, sometimes in our zeal, in our inability to just step back and ask what God is doing, we end up fighting against God. It's not that we don't love Him. It's not that He doesn't love us. It's just, as far as His purpose is concerned, we end up clashing heads a little bit. And then we don't understand why God isn't in this. And then what really hard is those moments where we step back and we realize it's not that God isn't in this as much as He is again in that which I'm opposing. He isn't exactly the opposite. And maybe my pride just needs to take a bit of a dip and ask that question again. God, sorry, what are you doing? And let me get excited and let me get involved in that. First thing is to embrace God's purpose. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The second one, we've read already in John 16, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. And then He gives us an instruction. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Some of us haven't realized this yet, but your mood is your choice. I want to say that again. Your mood is your choice. You can choose to be in a good mood or you can choose to be in a bad mood. In every circumstance, the only person who can determine how you're going to respond to the circumstance is you. You can choose to respond by getting upset and worked up about it, or you can choose to respond by not getting upset. How many of us like stressing? Where the stress is, yeah. Well, can I just quickly give you just a little word of encouragement? It's unbiblical to stress. Because Jesus says, be anxious for nothing. That's an instruction. And it applies to me as much as anybody else. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, not might, not could perhaps at times, will guard your heart and your mind. I wonder how often when we start stressing, do we just stop, press pause, and pray with all praise? Or how often do we just allow that stress to work itself up and get ourselves all worked up about something? Yes, we're going to stress as humans. That's fine. It's part of who we are. It's our response to those stress moments that determines how we're going to go forward and is going to determine our mood to a large extent. Don't let your circumstances determine your day. You know, I think one of the biggest mistakes we make is we wake up in the morning. Some people wake up in a bad mood, but you know, I'm not a morning person. Well, become a morning person. How's that for a challenge? You can choose to be in a good mood from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed. Choose to wake up and say, today I'm going to be a morning person. Today, for the sake of the people around me, I'm going to choose to love them. I'm going to choose to be in a good mood for them. You're going to be quite amazed at just how your own life is going to change. But anyway, you wake up in a good mood, you go through a good mood, and then something silly, some circumstance happens, some email comes to your phone, some SMS, some Palooka phones you, whatever it is, a circumstance. You know what some of us do? We get home at 6 or 7 tonight, and we're still in a bad mood about the thing that happened at 7 this morning. We allow some silly, stupid little thing to sour our whole day. You know, God's placed in your hand to be of good cheer. That's actually an instruction. It doesn't say in a hardship. God's not expecting you to laugh for the last 100 meters of the marathon you're running. He's not expecting you to have a giggle fit just before you cross the finish line of the comrades. It's not going to. You're going to be tired, but you know you can cross the comrades tired and finished, but of good cheer. Hey guys, it's the finish line. We're almost there. Let's carry on. I don't know about you, but the people I enjoy being around are the good cheer people. Some people wake up in the morning and their decision is, today I'm going to be a bad cheer. They just choose, it's like every circumstance, every moment, they just choose to get upset about it. We can live as if everything in this world is a crisis or nothing in this world is a crisis. Perhaps if we believe that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead still lives in me, that the God of angel armies is always by my side, then maybe nothing is a crisis. Yes, there are some things that need my attention. Yes, there are things that we need to get involved with. There are some things that we need to get involved with urgently. But that doesn't mean emotionally I have to get all worked up and lose the plot and crisis panic mode. Not if I trust God. Not if my hope and my faith is always, and part of developing a victorious spirit is to focus on the positives. Be aware of the negatives, but don't dwell on them. Just when I started working here years ago, I arrived here, and you know, after a couple of months, I found myself so frustrated with church. I was praying about it. I said, God, what? Why is this church so useless? What? And God said, no, Philip, don't be stupid. The reality is, you're spending all your time trying to fix some things that need fixing. But because you're so focused on the positive, on the negatives, you're not seeing all of the positives. 99% of this church is great. There's 1% that you're spending a lot of time on right now because we need to get that right. But don't let that cloud the picture. That same principle must carry through to our lives. There's a whole bunch of really good stuff that we can focus on. Be aware of the negative. Pay attention to the negative. Do what needs to be done to the stuff that's not so pleasant. But regularly step back and look at the whole picture. Regularly step back and say, God, I'm going to choose to be of good cheer. Why can I be of good cheer? Because there's 99% of the stuff is all working. It's really cool. There's this 1% which right now feels like 99%, but it's just the 1%. Or 5% or 10% that needs some attention that's not so cool. Let's work on that. But let's work on that with an understanding and a glad-heartedness, because the other 90%, that's pretty okay. Let's be of good cheer. Deuteronomy 30, time into that. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Obviously, choosing life starts by choosing Christ. But choosing life finds significance in every decision we make. In every moment when it comes to your mood, every relationship, every task that you're about to tackle, you get to choose life over. Or you get to choose death. Death and life, it's a choice that you get. It's a choice to win. It's a choice to say, God, I'm going to choose to, in whatever happened here, to choose the best. You know, I was using the example of the guy, two people who pranked in front of Yaneta the other day. A couple of months or years, probably, a guy spoke about the fact that, you know, if your car crashes, if you're in a car that crashes and you get out alive, you can be really upset, as most of us would be, that my car's now got a big dent in that I need to fix, and it's expensive, and I've got a headache, and now I'm late for wherever I was going. That's why I was speeding, and that's why I crashed. You know, whatever it may be. Or you can get out of the car and just start by saying, God, thank you that I've got a car to crash. Thank you that I actually have a vehicle, because there are a whole bunch of other people who would love a vehicle to be able to crash who don't have a vehicle. Tomorrow morning as I drive to work and I drive past all of the people that are walking or the people that are just trying to scrape money together to get a taxi, to get to the job, to scrape money again, to get the next taxi, God. Thank you that I'm not in that situation. Thank you, God. You know, some of us, our wallets get stolen and we get all upset about it, and rightly so, I understand that. But just sometimes, God, thank you that I've got a wallet that can be stolen. Thank you that I've actually got some cards that I can be worried about what's going to happen to the money in those cards. Thank you that I've got a driver's license that can be stolen. You know, just a little bit of an approach of choosing to say, God, I'm going to choose life in the midst of this nonsense. Yes, my wallet got stolen, and yes, it's a big schlep, but it's not the end of the world. It's not a crisis. There are a whole bunch of people that would give a whole bunch to have that thing that I've just had stolen. Just a small little approach to life change. God, thank you. Thank you that I've got stuff that can break. Thank you that I've got cars that can get flat tires and cell phones that can fall in water and whatever else it is. Thank you that I had it, God. It's amazing how your attitude is just going to change if you just make a conscious decision to, in that moment, step back and just be thankful before I get upset. God, thank God, I just prayed this car, but I'm still okay. I'm alive. I've still got all my fingers. I've still got all my toes. You know, whatever situation you find yourself in, doesn't matter how bad it is, there's something you can find to be thankful for. Next one is to delight in His Word. Talking about developing a victorious spirit. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does. How's that for a beautiful promise? How many of us want to go into 2014, whatever we're doing prospers? There's a key to that. One simple key. It's not even hard. It's just delight in the Word. Spend time in the Word. Meditate in it day and night. You know, just something that I'm just, for myself, trying to just, I don't want to call it a New Year's resolution because I hate the principle of New Year's resolutions because they never last. But a life resolution, starting today. I'm on my phone a lot, busy on my phone, doing a bunch of stuff, especially when you get free time. You know those dead moments in life? We all have them. You're sitting, you're waiting for someone for a phone call, or you're sitting, waiting for the pizza guy to deliver, or whatever it is. You know, we've all got those dead moments where we're just sitting, waiting for 2 minutes, or 5 minutes, or 10 minutes. The times we all whip out our phone, and we Facebook, some of us whip out our phone a lot other times as well. And Facebook, or your Candy Crush, or you do whatever you do to. Oh, all your Candy Crushes just laughed, okay? You laugh. You find something to. Candy Crush is like the game of the year last year. If you didn't get it on your phone, don't, because it's going to waste all your time. But just a little thing that I'm just challenging myself around. I find I'd normally open up some news bulletin or just quickly read something interesting. How about we develop a discipline of taking those times and you take out your phone and you open your Bible app. And we read Scripture. We meditate on Scripture. We say, God, I'm going to choose to, I want to read your Word, God. I want to memorize your Word. I want to meditate on it day and night because whatever I do will prosper. Part of us developing a victorious culture is developing a love for His Word. Not only those times where you've got a half an hour or an hour and you can do a full-on Bible study, but those little moments where you can take out a flashcard. I used to do that, and something I maybe should start doing again. I went to CNA and bought a whole pack of blank business cards. Every morning I'd write a verse down, memorize that verse, put it on my car's dashboard, whatever it is, put it on my computer screen at work, whatever, all the time, just looking at that verse, memorizing that verse. Whatever we do will prosper. We make our delight in the law of the Lord. Speaking about overcoming it. Victorious, victorious spirit. And then, a last one. And this is the one that probably for most of us is probably most challenging. Our verbal culture. Proverbs 15 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Perverseness in it breaks the spirit. You know that applies not only to you, but it applies to the people in your sphere of influence. Your wholesome tongue can be a tree of life for them as well as for you. Perverseness in your tongue can break your spirit as well as their spirit. Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Whoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Some of us need to pray a prayer that David prayed. In the Psalms, he says, God, put a guard in front of my mouth. In other words, God, put a little guy in front of my mouth who watches every word I speak and he closes my mouth when I'm going to speak nonsense, when I'm going to speak death, when I'm going to speak stuff that's not upbuilding and uplifting and life-giving. You know, you can communicate negative things and negative thoughts, difficult things. Let's call them that. Things which can lead to negativity, but you know you can communicate them in a life-giving way. You don't have to communicate them in a moan or derogatory way. You can communicate them in an upbuilding way, and that's what this is speaking about. I think one of the biggest disciplines that we need to pay attention to going into the new year, if we want to develop a victorious spirit, is when that battle comes, to start speaking life. To say, hey, this is going to be fun. You know, on the fourth day of a cricket test match, if we use that example again, standing in the hot sun, you can be standing there all upset about the fact that it's hot and you're thirsty and it's tired and you want to go home and you want to go and sleep. Or you can embrace the challenge and say, but there's a purpose, there's a victory at the end of this. I'm not going to get the joy of the victory if I don't go through the suffering of the process of the battle. And as I get to the end of it, the joy is so much greater. But you know, if you get in your huddle at 4:30 or 5:00 on the fourth day of the test match and you've got an hour to go, if you're in that huddle and you're saying, man, I just wish the day would finish, can't we just go home? You know that last hour is going to be much worse. If you get in that huddle as a team, you have your last little energy or whatever it is before the last hour, you say, come on guys, 1 hour to go. We're almost done. We can make this count. You know, the game can change in the next hour. Let's press in. Let's everyone push on. Give our hardest. Give our most. And then tonight we're going to have a good rest. Just communicating the same thing in a total different way. We're going to approach that last hour in a total different way. I want to encourage you, your own mouth. Ask the people around you. Say, help me to develop a healthy, life-giving verbal culture. In Luke 6, even so, the tongue is a little member. It boasts great things. See how great a forest that a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. I think some of us sometimes miss that. You know the fire in your tongue, you know where it comes from? Hell. Scripture says. Your tongue can start a fire. Your tongue can do some serious damage. You know what causes your tongue to be able to do that damage? The fire of hell. I think sometimes we miss that and we just run with a fire in our tongues because we think it's okay. And we misunderstand that that is actually a fire that has its origin in hell. For every tree is known by its own fruit. Men do not gather fig from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. But a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Your mouth is a great indicator of what's going on in your heart. Probably the best indicator. That which is bubbling up, coming up all the time, is that which is on the inside. Scripture tells us that. What's coming out of your mouth, if there's a whole bunch of negativity coming out of your mouth, then perhaps you don't have the most victorious of spirits. If there's a whole bunch of I'm the victim and defeatist and that type of stuff coming up, then you can know that, man, God, something in my heart that needs salvation, something in my heart that needs restoration, something in my heart, God, that needs your spirit to breathe life over. And as God starts doing that, your speech is going to begin to change. Your speech becomes the speech of a victor. Don't know if you guys have ever listened to some of these world champions, whichever field when they got interviewed. I always love listening to them. I love reading the books because they're always speaking life. They're always speaking, I can do this. Man, it's a big challenge, but we can overcome. Type of discipline you need to overcome on a world stage. Yes, we're going to work hard, but we're going to overcome. We're going to do this. We read that or we listen to that and we often pick it up as arrogance. And in the worldly sense, it probably often is arrogance. But it's an arrogance born out of a desire and ability to overcome. You know, Usain Bolt got the head of the World Athletics Federation had a go at Usain Bolt because he doesn't run the 100 meters of the World Olympics. He jogs the 100 meters at the Olympics. And the guy said, that's just disrespectful to everyone else that you're running against, the head of the International Athletics Committee or the Olympic Committee. I can't remember which one of the two. He said to Usain Bolt, that's disrespectful. I'm saying, hey, what's more disrespectful? Giving them a chance, you know, winning by much. But you listen to Usain Bolt. Listen to him speak. Everything. He's convinced that he can do anything that he says he can do. Whether he can or not isn't the point. But he's developed a healthy verbal culture. He speaks like a champion. He speaks like an overcomer. He speaks like a victor. He's developed a healthy verbal culture. And I want to go so far as to say that he wouldn't be doing what he's doing if he's in the starting blocks all the time. He looked at his friend about to kick out of the blocks. He said, I don't know if I can win this race. I don't even know if I can finish it. I don't know if my muscles are going to hold up. Maybe you should just win. Maybe you should just leave the whole thing and let you win anyway. Some of us, our verbal culture has developed that. Our verbal culture isn't the verbal culture of an overcomer. our verbal culture isn't the verbal culture of the God of angel armies is always by my side. Hey, we might die, but then we're in heaven for eternity. That's pretty cool. So let's go. Bring it. We might live and overcome and do some great things for the cause of Christ. But we're not going to achieve it if our mouths, Scripture says our mouth is a rudder. Our mouth sets a course, a direction of our whole life. In Revelation 12, we see that same principle. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. See, there's a verbal culture of sharing the testimony of the great things that God has done. I'm going to ask the ushers to pass out the elements of the communion for us. Because the last part, and quite possibly the most important part in developing a victorious spirit, is an understanding of the victory of the cross of Christ, the power of the blood. That Jesus, we're going to overcome this, not because I'm so great and I'm so clever and I'm so strong and I speak so well and I have so much hope in my heart and all those beautiful things, but because Jesus, you've already won it. Lord, are we going to overcome this year, God? We're going to overcome the challenge and the victory, even as the word said earlier. Because thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. That's the victory. You see, the victory is the victory. The victory that Jesus has already won on the cross. The victory in the blood of the Lamb. That's our victory. And if we want to develop a victorious spirit more than anything else, we need to develop an appreciation, an awareness for the blood of Christ. Saying, Jesus, my child is sick. Jesus, if my car is praying. Jesus, if my bank balance is zero. Jesus, if I'm about to go into this business transaction. Jesus, if I'm about to strike this deal. Jesus, I'm about to put this tender in. Jesus, I'm about to go and study. Jesus, I'm about to ask this girl to marry me. Jesus, I'm about to whatever it is. My victory, God, is not in anything that I've done, as much as the fact that Jesus, you have already won. And this morning, I want us, as we look forward towards 2014, to break bread together around that. Say, God, we want to be a victorious people because the people of God are meant to be victorious. The people of God are not meant to be a people who are slain at every corner, who never overcome, who never taste victory. The Scripture says Jesus leads us in triumph in all things at all times. But Lord, we know that the victory is in the cross of Jesus Christ. The victory is the battle that you have already won. The victory is in the death that you have already died. And as we start this year, some of you, you already know what challenges are ahead of you. You already know what bridges you're going to have to build and fights you're going to have to fight. At least some of them. For some of us, we don't know what they are, except that we know that they are there. And what I'd like us to do, if you've received the bread and the wine and the elements of the communion, I'd like you to turn to one another in groups of two or three once again. What I'd like us to do is to have communion in those little groups, just in your own time. To break bread and to pray over, say, God, these are the challenges that I know I'm going to have to face. Lord, this is what I'm trusting for victory for. God, these are the areas where right now I'm not walking in victory, but I need to start walking in victory. God, this is going to be a big fight, and I know I'm going to win it, but it's going to be a big fight. Whatever it may be, bring those before the Lord. And in the same way, while I was speaking, if there's specific areas in your life that you know need attention, maybe it's your verbal culture, maybe it's just a laziness with regards to the Word of God, whatever it may be, just bring that before God and say, God, help me to grow in this area, Lord. Lord, from today and for this year, or for the rest of my life, whatever it may be, God, next month, next week, God, help me just to grow in this area. Help me to develop this, Lord. God, help me to develop a victorious spirit, a spirit of an overcomer, a spirit of more than a conqueror through Him who loved us. So I'm going to pray for you, and then as soon as I'm prayed, you can turn to one another and pray for each other in the groups. And then if you need to go, you're more than welcome to go. There's coffee and tea outside. Hang around, especially if you're visiting. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And if you have any prayer requests, whatever it may be, pray for each other in groups. You know, sometimes we come to the front and There's a blessing in that. And we pray for each other. We lay hands on people. We do that. Part of church is knowing that we're a family seeking God together, praying together. Whatever He can do here, He can do right there in the seats as we pray together. So, Father, I want to thank You for this morning, God. Thank You, God, that You've given us this incredible promise that in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Lord, that as we head into this year, that we know we're going to have tribulation, God. There's going to be stuff that we're not so excited about, Lord. There's going to be stuff that really, if we could, we would rather do without. But we also know that in the midst of that, God, You say to us, be of good cheer. And we want to say yes, Lord. We want to be people of good cheer. People of victory. People who are overcomers, Lord God. People who can tackle our challenges head on, Lord. To know, Lord, which mountains to move and which mountains to climb. But Lord, as we look towards this next year, Lord, we thank You for a year of overcoming and a year of victory. Not because of our cleverness or our strength or our anything, but because of the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus. That Your body was broken for us and Your blood shed in order for us to have life and life in abundance and to walk in victory. In Jesus' name.
You move mountains when You speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like